All right, all right. Once again, I want to welcome you. My name is Pastor B. Wallace.
My name is Keontae McDonald, and you're tuned in to Simplify Complexity, a relationship podcast.
Okay, so again, we just want to thank you for joining us. We want to thank those who have continued to just to listen in and allow God to use us to just encourage you in the area of relationships. Mm-hmm. And so today we're going to talk about the topic of quality time and what quality time is, how that impacts our relationships, and different things that we can do to implement it or seek it or apply it into our relationships if it is something that is waning or missing. But before we do that, one of the things I want to encourage you is go to the website, simplifycomplexity.org. Again, simplifycomplexity.org. We have a bunch of resources there for you to check out. You can also check out some of our other podcasts, previous podcasts. So please go there. Tell your friends about it. Also, please leave comments. We have our blog. Leave reviews. We just want to hear from you guys. We want to continue to improve and grow. So with that said, Keontae, when you hear quality time, what comes to your mind? What is quality time? How would you define that?
For me, well, not even for me, what I think quality time is, or what I know quality time is, it's that, yeah. It's just that uninterrupted time that you're giving your undivided attention to your spouse, you know? And I'm not talking about like, oh, you know, quality time is us watching Netflix together at 8 o'clock.
Okay,
you know?
Okay.
You may think that's quality time.
Right, right.
But your spouse might have a different idea of what quality time is.
So definitely quality time is that time that your mate, your spouse, or that person maybe that you're with, you're in a relationship with, it's what's valuable to them.
Right.
And one of the things that have impacted my life and I've really enjoyed is Gary Chapman's 5 Love Languages. Mm-hmm. And that's really gets into this whole concept of quality time. He talks about the 5 of love languages, and one of those love languages is quality time. And for those that haven't read it, I definitely encourage you to read it. Mm-hmm. But the quick concept of it is that all of us have different love languages that we receive, and we all have different love languages that we give.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, what you give might not necessarily be what you receive, or what you're giving might not be what your spouse or the person that you're in a relationship is what they're receiving. So, for example, one of the love languages is quality time that we just talked about. Another love language is words of affirmation.
Uh-huh.
And so for me, I could be giving words of affirmation and words of affirmation and basically saying, I love you, you're wonderful, you're awesome, you're all these things. But then they are not receiving that the same way because they feel their love language that they receive is quality time.
Right.
And so I'm giving words of affirmation, I'm building you up, but you're not feeling that your love tank is being filled. And you could talk about that because I remember you've talked about that before, because I'm not feeling it in the way that you receive love.
Right. And, you know, speaking on love tank, just dealing with the 5 love languages, in that scenario, you know what's really good and why quality time really plays a factor in what you just said? Because often in quality time, you get great discussions, you know what I mean? And I think, you know, when you're conversing with your spouse and, you know, having that line of communication, you'll begin to understand exactly what their needs are.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, just like you said, you know, I might be throwing words of affirmation all day to my wife, you know what I mean? But her love language might be quality time. So that's like going to a gas station, knowing that you have a Ferrari, you need to put 91 in that bad boy, you know, premium.
Yeah.
But you're just filling it with unleaded, expecting it to drive the way it's supposed to drive.
And that's going to begin to impact the engine.
Right.
It's going to impact your performance. And that's the same thing within relationships. So that's a great analogy.
Exactly.
So now with that, and for those that are listening in, some of you guys are single, some of you guys are married. And so I know you're listening to this and you're like, man, I'm hearing spouse. And so how does this whole idea of quality time play in also when you're not married, when you're dating or when you're in a courting relationship? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that comes to my mind is when we talk about quality time, is quality time is not an issue when you first meet someone.
Right.
And what's interesting about that is, can you imagine you're dating someone and all of a sudden they don't really want to spend time with you? How far is that going to go? How's the far is that relationship going to go?
It's not going to go very far.
It's not going to go very far. And so we have no problems early on in a relationship to give quality time. It's almost like it's automatic. You're single and you're like, I want to be with somebody. I want to spend time with somebody. And so that's one of the things that you begin to seek. And sometimes when you first begin to date someone and get into a relationship with someone, you actually spend too much time together because you begin to exclude yourself. That's how much quality time that you are spending.
Right.
And so what happens when all of a sudden now we got to start talking about quality time and managing it and being intentional to do it?
Right. Well, I think number one, I think it goes into when you're dating. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you're moving towards marriage, the main question that needs to be asked is, what is your view on marriage?
Okay.
And I think from experience and just from talking to other people, a lot of people get this view of marriage in their head as the destination. Like it's the final destination, you know. Yeah. Once I get there, that's it.
That's it.
You know what I mean? But
that's the beginning.
Right. But when you get married and, you know, now these questions come up, you begin to experience like, okay, there's still more for me to learn. There's still more for me to experience and more for me to find out in this marriage. Yeah.
Well, there's an odd thing that happens is when you're single, you can't wait to be with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're finally with somebody and you're with that person for a while, then it's like, I kind of just want to be left alone. And so we ultimately, if you're listening to this, we have issues because we have to really struggle through self, because self thinks we know what we want until we get it. And then once we get it, we really don't want that. We want something else. And so we're all jacked up. And so there's so much that we can learn and grow in relationships. And one of those is understanding how important quality time is, especially in the longevity of a relationship.
Right.
And the longer that you're together, how important that you're taking that time to spend with one another. And so I want to ask you, what are some negative impacts? So as we talk about quality time and how important it is, what are some negative impacts of quality time lacking in a relationship?
I think there's a host of negative impacts. Number one is just the divide. You know, it becomes that invisible divide in your marriage or in your nuptials, because when you guys don't spend the quality time, you kind of don't get a gauge of, you know, how your day's been or how's your week going. You know what I mean? As when you're married, you're supposed to be one. You know what I mean? So on a spiritual plane, you're supposed to know where your partner is at, how they're feeling, what they may be going through.
Yeah.
If that quality time isn't, if it's lacking, if it's not spent, how are you to know, you know, if they may be struggling with something that you maybe can help them out with, and you don't even know because the quality time is non-existent.
Right. And it's that difference between knowing of something and knowing something.
Right.
And we have to understand it's that same connection with God. And so what God gives us in relationships is many times within the scripture, God shows this parallel. And I think you have a scripture for us. Is he shows this parallel between his relationship with the church and his relationship with his people and our human relationships and our marriage. And so the church is always considered her and how Christ is the bride. And you see this parallel, you see this connection between our human relationships and the same connection between our relationship with our Heavenly Father.
Right. And then the scripture just going into that is Ephesians 5:25. And it just says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her.
And so you see that connection, right?
Right,
We're supposed to love our wives the same way that Christ loved us.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that connection where we need to be mindful of, what am I committing to this relationship? What am I giving into? And I need to make those type of sacrifices. And how can you have a relationship with God if you don't spend time with God?
Exactly.
And how can you have a relationship with your girl, with your man, with your spouse, if you're not spending time with them?
Exactly.
They're going to begin to feel neglected, and it does not work. And so even if that is not their love tank, if that's not their love language, you still have to spend that quality time together.
Mm-hmm. And that makes perfect sense, you know, and, you know, just in that of just building your relationship and spending quality time. That's a great analogy that you use. But just think of it like this, is in a sense, if something doesn't grow, mm-hmm. it's considered dead.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And when it comes to quality time is how you grow. When it comes to salvation, you just don't get saved and, well, I'm saved. I don't have to. You know what I mean? We have to spend that time in reading our word and praying and with, you know, talking to God and prayer and just our solitude in order for us to grow and to become better. And the same sense is like that in your marriage and your relationships. In order for you to grow and get better and continue to move forward, quality time needs to be spent.
Yeah. And that's where I was mentioning earlier how in the beginning of a relationship, it's automatic. Mm-hmm. It's mandatory because no one is going to get into a relationship with someone who does not spend time with them. Exactly. So we understand the importance of quality time. We understand the need for it, but we understand it on a selfish level. We understand it as this is what I want at this moment. Mm-hmm. But once that begins to wane, now you got to watch this, is once that begins to wane and once that begins to leave us, now it was selfish. Rather than understanding I'm giving quality time because of this other person, because that's what they need. So now it needs to, we need to come to a place where we understand that it's selfless. Mm-hmm. It's not just about what I want. And so what ends up happening, and let's give some analogies, is the game is on, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're watching the game and we really want to see the game. And we don't want to spend quality time maybe at that moment.
Right.
And so because it's not what we want, we begin to say, well, I'm not worried about that, and I'm focused in on what I want. But the whole concept of quality time is seeing the need of the other person. It's seeing, right. Okay, I need to be selfless. I know what I want. I don't want to spend time together. I want to read my book. I want to go do this. I want to go to the gym, whatever it might be, whatever, you know, you, the listener, you're dealing with. But when you're in a relationship, you have to be prepared to be selfless. Mm-hmm. And many people, they struggle with that. And as you're struggling with that, then you need to really question, are you ready for marriage? Because if you're going to get married, it's about sacrifice.
It is. You know what? Now I'll give you I'll give you one of my testimonies.
Go ahead.
Give me that just happened in the past week. So me and my wife, in between having our first child, so in between having another person with us constantly now.
Okay.
We both work full-time jobs. Mm-hmm. So you would imagine in between the kid and just working, you know, time is kind of scarce.
Yep.
You know? And so me and my wife only get about 2 days off together that we really are able to spend time with each other. And one of those days, you know, as of late, we've just kind of been chilling, you know, mm-hmm. chilling, watching Netflix. And I'm like, okay, cool. You know, we together, you know, we doing something we're both enjoying. And my wife just happened to bring up, you know, last week, she was like, you know, do you feel like this is just time well spent, you know, of us just, you know, watching Netflix? And see, now me on my spectrum,
you're good.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, you know, I thought this was all good. We're watching the show.
I wanted to watch Luke Cage anyway. So, you know, it's like, hey.
You know, so I'm thinking everything is all good. But then on her end, that's not the quality time that
she was looking for.
Yeah, that she was looking for. She wanted that undivided, let's sit, talk, have a conversation. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about what happened in the week with us. You know, what happened at work? What happened in our personal lives outside of each other? That's quality mm-hmm. time that she wants to spend. And, you know, and I didn't come to understand that until we actually had a talk about that. And so in order for you to even have that talk, though, there has to be quality time, you know what I mean, put in place.
Yeah. And as you mentioned that, I want to go over some of the key points that Gary Chapman gives in the area of quality time in his book. And he says, you know, tips and key things to look for is in spending quality time, you want to maintain eye contact.
That's good.
You know, don't listen to your spouse and do something else at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
That's and, real. You know, many of us, men and women, especially with our devices now, mm-hmm. we're talking about we're spending quality time and every 5 seconds we're checking this, we're checking that. It's turning off maybe the cell phone. It's turning off the TV and giving them your undivided attention.
Right.
It's listen for feelings. Ask yourself, what emotion is my spouse experiencing? So you just mentioned it. You're listening to one another. Here's another big one about selflessness. Refuse to interrupt. And so you're meaning such interpretations indicate I don't care what you are saying. listen to me. And so I'm quick to cut you off. I'm quick to interrupt. And these are all things that, if you notice, we have to be selfless. It's all things that we have to work on because we're making sacrifices. And so I wanted to give a scripture, another scripture. And this particular scripture is in 1 Corinthians 7:3. And 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is a really good chapter if you're married or if you're thinking about getting married, because you really see the commitment. Mm-hmm. You really see the sacrifice within marriage. And as you mentioned, it's a marriage for many people is a destination. They feel like, okay, once I'm married, okay, I'm good. Or they feel like marriage will fix all the problems in my relationship. But rather, we have to understand that marriage is just the beginning of that whole process,
right,
of spending the rest of your life together. And so part of being single and part of dating is really understanding, am I really ready to make the sacrifice? And I keep talking about that. Somebody's like, man, he keeps talking about sacrifice. Yes, I keep talking about sacrifice because we're selfish. I'm just going to go ahead and say I'm selfish. We all have issues. And many times we jump into relationships and we really have to do a self-check. We have to really say, are you really ready to sacrifice? And so I want to go over this. And it says this. It says, let the husband. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Mm-hmm. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her. And likewise, also the wife to her husband. And so the whole concept is what is the need? What is the affection? What is the love tank that needs to be filled? You, as the husband, it is your duty, is your responsibility to be mindful of what her need is.
Mm-hmm.
That's selfless. And likewise, the wife, you need to be mindful of the need of your husband.
Right. That's that in a nutshell. You know what I mean? And
I hope I'm not scaring anybody. Everybody's like, oh man.
I mean, but it's truth. And I think it's much needed truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, like I said, there's a lot of people that look at marriage, you know, in that spectrum of, you know, well, this is it, you know, but in order for your marriage to, if you want your marriage to flourish,
yeah,
you should continue the same things you took to get her, to get that girl.
Yeah.
You should go ahead and continue it into your marriage. But now it's much more intensified.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we just really have to practice on staying in that place and continuing to further that quality time, that gathering that information to just get to know her even more.
Yeah.
You know, but In that quality time, make sure that you are addressing her correct love tank and making sure that you feel it.
Right. And you're not always going to want to. You're not always going to feel like it. And that's the thing about sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Christ did for us. He died for us. He loved us even when we had attitude, even when we weren't listening, when we were rebellious. Christ died for us. The Bible says that when we were weak, when we were helpless, he died for the ungodly. And you're going to find that you're not always going to feel like it. They're not always going to be deserving, but we're supposed to love one another as Christ loved us.
Right.
And that's the love that we're supposed to give one another.
Mm-hmm.
So as we kind of close and we finish up, we've talked about what quality time is. We talked about how it plays out, whether or not if you're married or not married. We talked about why it's important. Now, I want to finish and talk about what do we do when we're struggling to give it? What do we do when we notice that we're not spending quality time, whether or not if it's because of the kids?
Mm-hmm.
And so as you mentioned, another pause. Sometimes we'll feel like we're spending quality time because we're at all of our kids' functions. And so I see that a lot within relationships that I counsel and I work with, and even in my own life, is you'll feel like, man, I'm good because we're at this function. We're at this basketball game with the kids. We're at this football game with the kids. And we're doing all these things with the kids. But that's not necessarily quality time either. That's maybe quality time with the kids, but that's not individual quality time. So what do you do when you're struggling to maintain quality time?
I think number one, I'll give like three quick points. Number one is just make adjustments.
Yeah.
Once you identify the problem, how that problem is going to get corrected if you make the adjustment right then and
there.
Wait,
what is it saying? The definition of insanity
is doing the same thing over and over, but expecting a different result.
There you go.
You know, and my wife, like, it's like my wife always tells me, man, my wife is just so good financially. She's our financial advisor.
Guru, all right.
Yeah, you know, but when we first started dating, I was so bad at paying bills. I would pay bills late and incur like late charges all the time. And then she told me something so simple, but it made so much sense. She was like, why don't you just pay the bill once you get it, once it gets mailed? And I'm like, That does make sense. But, you know, so that's just the first point. Just make adjustments and then there. Number two, don't make excuses. I know from my point, from my standpoint and my experiences, I've always, not always, but sometimes I've made excuses of, man, there's just not enough time in a day. I got so much to do and so on and so forth or whatnot. But I was in turn making an excuse. And I just want to piggyback off of what you said earlier about technology nowadays, just having our devices. I would say about 100% of us, we all have smartphones. We go through this procedure where we got to make sure our phone is charged. Mm-hmm. We got to make sure we charge our phones daily.
All right, you know what I mean?
And so how is it that we charge our phones daily, but in essence, we allow our marriages to die?
We don't charge one another.
Right. So in a sense, if you're not daily, if you're charging your cell phone daily and making sure it's at 100%, but you're not recharging your wife or charging your marriage, then you're spending your time.
I wouldn't even mention that because I know you have a third point.
Uh-huh.
But this is our mindset. This is how we're jacked up. Man, Lord, help us. So you didn't charge me, so I'm not charging you.
Mm.
And that's our mindset. We go into it is self first and what I want. And if you don't do for me, I'm not doing for you. And we have to reverse that. You have to understand that Christ did not have that attitude towards you. He did not say, well, if you're not going to do for me, if you don't love me first, then I'm not going to die for you. No, but it was when we were helpless, God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were helpless, he died for us.
Exactly.
So what's that third point, man?
Man, the third point is just combining both of those two first points and actually pinpointing the exact way that your spouse needs quality time spent.
Yeah.
Because all that, you know, if you make the adjustments, if you just, you know, you try your best to charge your wife first before you get to your devices, it's all going to be in vain if you're doing it the wrong way.
Yeah.
You know, so you may think throwing on some Netflix just might cover that, but she might want to go for a walk in the park and talk to you around the park. So you need to pinpoint what your spouse's actual view of quality time is.
Yeah. Now, I want to kind of represent the singles, or at least those that are not married. Mm-hmm. Let me say it that way, because it's a little bit different approaching certain subjects like this when you're dating, when you're courting, or when you're engaged.
Mm-hmm.
When you're engaged, you begin to approach a little bit more like you're married. And we kind of talked about this, the difference between dating and courting. Dating, you are data collecting friends.
Mm-hmm.
Courting, you have shifted from being friends to where now you are in a serious, committed relationship. And so it's important that we understand the two. And we've kind of talked about it in some of our past podcasts.
Uh-huh.
But in that, sometimes you're in a dating relationship or you're in a courting relationship, and quality time begins to wane. And so you approach it a little bit different, because when you're married, you don't have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make the adjustment and to begin to spend quality time with that person.
Right.
And this is really important. So for those that are listening, sometimes we're in a courting relationship where we're trying to operate like we're married, and we're expecting some of the same things like we're married. And so you need to reevaluate some things when you're in a courting relationship. So, for example, if you're in a courting relationship and you find yourself not really wanting to spend as much time, well, then you need to reflect and say, what is going on in me? Why am I not wanting to spend the same amount of time? You see the difference? It's not like, oh, well, let me force myself and right. and say, I need to spend quality time. Well, you do that when you're married. But when you're dating, you need to really do some self-reflection and say, well, why is that?
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole point of dating, the whole point of courting, is whether or not this person is going to be the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you find yourself, I want you to give me your thoughts on it, but when you find yourself courting and you're like, okay, I really don't want to spend as much time, then you might need to ask yourself, well, are you ready for a relationship?
Right, exactly.
You need to ask yourself, well, what is it? Is there something within the relationship? Is she doing something, or are you doing something to where you're not really wanting to be as involved? Are you getting scared? What is happening? You have to really do some self-reflection and really prayerfully consider, are you going to move forward in this courting relationship, in this dating relationship? And that's tough. Many of us, we run from that. Mm-hmm. And we continue to operate in a messed up, or I want to say messed up. We operate in an unhealthy, there we go. Yeah, okay. We operate in an unhealthy relationship, where we're not spending quality time, where we're not giving words of affirmation, and then guess what we think is going to fix it?
What is it?
Marriage. But if we get married, that's going to fix all our problems.
Right,
Marriage is not the fixer-upper to all the relationship problems. It's actually going to only expose more of what you need to do. And what are your thoughts, some of, as far as in that area of when you're courting and you find yourself struggling with quality?
That was good what you said at the end. I say my thoughts on it is, you know, you really do have to kind of step back and reflect, because I think some of us, we're just so afraid of just being alone that we try to push ourselves into anything, you know, into anything just so fast, when, you know, naturally you might not be ready. And then again, too, when it comes to pursuing a relationship with another person, I always tell people, what is your relationship with Christ now? You know, are you spending quality time with him? Are you spending quality time in his word? Because if you're not right on that plane, you're just going to add more fuel to the fire if you try to engage in another relationship. And now your time is divided.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to figure things out. So it's good to just step back and reflect. And, you know, if you come to a point where, okay, I think I'm just rushing into something because all my friends are in relationships, and I just want to be in a relationship too, I think it's safer to just bow out or have a conversation and say, hey, you know, maybe this isn't the right time.
Pause for a little bit. And you're right. And we sometimes don't want to face that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we stay in a situation that we shouldn't. And that's where you end up seeing couples marry when they shouldn't.
Mm.
They're marrying prematurely. There's nothing wrong with taking a break. There's nothing wrong with taking a pause and growing as an individual. Mm-hmm. And it's important that we do that. And then it's not to say that you two can't get back together. But it's important to know that if you do get back together, it's at a healthier place.
Right.
You're both understanding what you both need to do.
Right.
To be in a committed relationship and make those type of sacrifices. And again, not saying that if quality time is waning, that all of a sudden you need to break up. So I'm not trying to tell people out there that. I'm just saying how you approach it is different than when you're married. How you approach it is you begin to do some self-reflection, find out what is happening, and maybe that's where you just understand you're being selfish. This person is the one at this point who I'm really pursuing and believe that I can marry, but I need to stop being so selfish. I need to step it up. Or maybe you're looking at the other person, they're not spending quality time. Yeah, you need to be like, hey, what's going on? Why aren't you spending quality time with me? You spend quality time with somebody else. You know, who else is in the picture? So you need to ask those type of questions.
Right, right.
So good stuff. Do you have any other thoughts, man, when it comes to quality time?
My final thought is, and this is for my married people, especially my married people with kids. a golden nugget that somebody gave to me and my wife before we got married is once we have kids, do your best to have a fund to save up for date night.
Yeah.
You know, and in that fund to save up for date night, you might have to have an extra fund. It's called babysitting fund because your date night just should be you and your wife in that quality time. So if you can, just when you're looking out throughout your week or even throughout your month, try to mark off certain days where it's just you and your wife and you guys are able to spend that time uninterrupted. And it's just that quality time that's needed.
When you have to spend that time to better know what they want, what they're looking for. And that's work. And again, we don't always want to work that hard. But yeah, you got to work and find out, what is she like? What is he like? And ask those questions and be prepared. You don't like ballet, But guess what? You're going to go buy some ballet tickets because you want to fill her left tank because right. she likes ballet. You don't like football. Well, guess what? Then because you know he does or she does, because there's some women out there that they football is serious for them. But because they do, you're willing to sit there and watch that football game with a smile on your face and enjoy it. Because that's the worst thing. And I guess this is where I'll end. That is the worst thing, to spend quality time with somebody and they're so-called supposed to be doing something for you, and they just got this whole look on them, and it's just like they're just miserable. And it's like, that just kills it. And so please don't go out and do something for somebody and take them out to a place that they want to go, and then you just look miserable the whole time because you really don't want to be there. And nobody wants to do that.
Right.
So, all right, well, we're going to go ahead and close in prayer. Mm-hmm. Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for just this opportunity that you could use us to share these things. And we pray that it will go forth with power, that it will encourage couples, that it will encourage marriages, and ultimately build them up in you. May you just be the center of all of our lives. May we step out of self every single day. May we pick up our cross every single day. We love you. We ask all these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, you guys, till the next time. Please don't forget to go to the website.
Put your hands up. Make some noise. Party with me. It's a family reunion and my family's with me. We're in the house of the Lord. Yeah. It's what you come for.
Come on.
Stand up.
Put your hands up.
Make some noise. Party with me. It's a family reunion and my family's with me.
There's no place I'd rather be or people I'd rather see. Where there's two or three, then there the Lord will be. Where the Lord is, then there you'll see me. If the Lord ain't going, then I'm